Hello and welcome to Unity Presbyterian Church Online. This week in worship, Pastor Dana concludes the series on relationships with a look at the foundations of our relationships. Let's listen.
As David just mentioned, this week we're wrapping up our sermon series on relationships. And so we'll be exploring what the foundation of each relationship is, looking at what the guiding principles are for every relationship that we possess in life, exploring what the heart and crux of those relationships are. As human beings, we have curious minds, and we like to know what the heart of a matter is. We like to know what the overarching picture is, what the main point or takeaway is. We like to know what a matter centers upon. Since the beginning of time, researchers and scientists have studied the center of things. For instance, physicists, they wanted to know what the center of an atom was, the nucleus. We all know that the word nucleus refers to the very center. It's become a metaphor for the center of things. Astronomers, they wanted to know what the center of our solar system was, the sun. We are keenly aware that the sun is the center of our solar system and that it's the planets that revolve around the sun. Many people wanted to know what the center of Earth was, the equator. We know that the equator is this invisible line that divides our planet into the northern and southern hemispheres. People wanted to know what the geographical center of the United States was. And if you were to draw a rectangle around the United States and then put an X through the rectangle, that X would intersect in Kansas. Topeka, Kansas claims to be the center of the United States. I was personally curious about what the center of North Carolina is. The center of North Carolina is a small town in Montgomery County called Star. Star has a population of 876 people. So here are some other centers that you may recall rather quickly. The center of a basketball court, the half court line. The center of a dartboard, the bullseye. The center of a human eye, the pupil. We as human beings really like to know what the center of things are, what the heart of a matter is. This curiosity stretches into our religious world. Bible scholars have long debated what the center of the Bible is. Some Bible scholars say that it's Psalm 117, verses 1 and 2. It says, "Praise the Lord, all you nations. Extol him, all you peoples. For great is his steadfast love toward us, and the faithfulness of the Lord endures forever. Praise the Lord." Well, there's another set of Bible scholars who debate that it's Psalm 118, verse 8, that is the center of the Bible. This verse says, "It's better to trust in the Lord than to put trust in man." Bible scholars have also researched what the center of the Old Testament is and what the center of the New Testament is. They've determined that the center of the Old Testament is 2 Chronicles, chapter 20, verse 17. It says, "You will not have to fight this battle. Take up your positions, stand firm, and see the deliverance the Lord will give you, Judah and Jerusalem. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. Go out to face them tomorrow, and the Lord will be with you." Bible scholars say the center of the New Testament is Acts 27, verse 17. This is where Paul is in Rome. He's sailing through, about to travel all through the Mediterranean, preaching and teaching. These two passages, 2 Chronicles and Acts 27, they may be the center of both the Old and New Testament, but I believe the true heart and the true center of the Old and New Testament are two different passages. I believe that the heart and center of the Old Testament is from Micah. Micah chapter 6, verse 8. It says, "He has told you, O mortal, what is good, and what does the Lord require of you but to do justice, to love kindness, and to walk humbly with your God." I believe this is the guiding principle, the very heart of the Old Testament teachings. And I believe that the heart and center of the New Testament is the Beatitudes. I believe we could say that's probably the heart of the gospel, the center of Jesus' teachings. Now, I believe that both of these passages are the heart of the Old and New Testament because they show us how we are to live and interact with other people. They teach us how we are to be in relationship with other people. Both of these passages, they offer us guiding principles for every relationship that we possess in life. Taking a closer look at the Beatitudes in Matthew chapter 5, verses 3 through 12, Jesus says, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven, for in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you." In this passage, Jesus had taken his inner core up on top of a mountain, and he taught them his core teachings, his core values. He taught them what the kingdom of heaven looked like, what the kingdom of God was all about. And he told them how, as followers of Christ, how we were to live and interact with others in this world, how we were to reveal God's kingdom to other people. Most of all, he showed them how we are to be in relationship with other people if we were to follow in his footsteps. This word blessed that shows up over and over again throughout the Beatitudes, the original Greek word is makarios, which means spiritual well-being and prosperity, the deep joy of the soul. One Bible scholar describes the word blessed this way. He says, "The blessed have a share in salvation and have entered the kingdom of God, experiencing a foretaste of heaven." The Beatitudes describe the ideal disciple and his rewards, both present and future. The person whom Jesus describes in this passage has a different quality of character and lifestyle than those still outside the kingdom. So the Beatitudes, they show us how we are to act in this world. They teach us of how we are to adopt a certain lifestyle and how we are to demonstrate that lifestyle for those who might still be living outside of the kingdom. That is to say that we are to live and act in such a way where people can catch a glimpse of who God is, that we can reveal God's glory, his love and grace and compassion, his mercy to all people that we meet. That is the same message that we find in the heart of the Old Testament. That same message is reverberated in Micah chapter 6, verse 8. This says, "He has told you, O mortal, what is good, and what does the Lord require of you but to do justice and love kindness and to walk humbly with your God." In this verse of Micah, the Hebrew word that is used here is hesed. In English, the word hesed is translated as love, to love kindness. Within our English language, there's not just one word that encapsulates the meaning of hesed. And so it's proven to be quite difficult for translators to render it accurately. In various versions, it appears as kindness, faithfulness, mercy, goodness, loyalty, and steadfast love. This word hesed, it's not just simply a word that's used in this verse, but rather it is thought of, even referred to as a theological claim. It's thought of as a theological claim because it informs us as to how we are to live and interact as God's people. It's a theological articulation of what we believe as Christians and what we are to embody in our day-to-day interactions, meaning that there is an obligation that's placed on God's people. In order to be God's people, we are to act justly, to love kindness, to love mercy. We are to walk humbly with our God. In human relationships, hesed implies loving all people, and not merely in terms of warm, fuzzy feelings and emotions, but rather in acts of love and service. We are to demonstrate these faithful acts of love and service because how can we say that we love our Lord with all our heart, mind, and strength if we don't love his people? A statement by Rabbi Simle claims that the Torah, the first five books of the Bible, begins with hesed and ends with hesed. This may be understood to mean that the entire Torah is characterized by hesed. It sets forth a vision of the ideal life, where a person's goals and behaviors are characterized by mercy and compassion. A person who embodies hesed is one who is faithful to the covenant and who goes above and beyond that which is normally required. I heard a story once about a man by the name of Dr. Wilder. Dr. Wilder is a clinical psychologist and a professor at Fuller Theological Seminary. When Dr. Wilder was much younger, he was a camp counselor. And he tells this story because it illustrates the depths of hesed. It illustrates the depths of God's love and grace and mercy. When Dr. Wilder was 19, he worked as a camp counselor for a camp for seniors that was right outside of New York City. It was a week where seniors could go and they could be immersed in nature. They could be surrounded by birds and trees instead of concrete buildings. Well, during this particular summer, there was a lady there who was regarded by most of the counselors as quite annoying. And they said that she was annoying because she would enter the lunch hall. And when it was time for lunch and the bell rang, then she would knock people over who were on canes and walkers, and she would make her way to the very front of the lunch line, and she would demand her food, and she would rush over to a seat, and she would gulp her meal down. She was also regarded as having a certain smell or odor. The camp counselor said that she would refuse to take a shower, and if somebody asked her to take a shower, she would yell at them. So one afternoon, Dr. Wilder is talking to a gentleman at the camp, a very refined and educated man, a man who could speak about many topics, knew many different languages. And as they were having this conversation, this woman walks by that was known as the bane of the camp. And as she walked by, Dr. Wilder said to this gentleman, "Well, this is just the most annoying lady here at this camp, and I wish she wasn't here." And so the husband ended up being, or this gentleman ended up being the husband of this wife or this lady. And so he turned to Dr. Wilder and he showed him a tattoo on his arm. It turned out that this couple was in a concentration camp and the Nazis had done a brain experiment on her. And the gentleman said, she's never been the same since 30 years ago when we were liberated. He went on to say that many people tell me that I should have her locked up and put away. He said, I just can't bring myself to do that. And then dawned on Dr. Wilder why she always needed her food first, why she gulped it down as soon as she received it, why she refused to go to the showers. Dr. Wilder concluded his story by saying, I just can't get this example out of my head. He said, this is Hesed. This is God's merciful, unconditional, enduring love, the type of love that comes from Jesus. This morning, as we wrap up our sermon series on relationships, the Beatitudes, and this concept of Hesed, they teach us how to live and interact with others. They remind us of what is most important, what the foundation is for every relationship that we possess in life. They help us to understand what sort of lifestyle we are to adopt so that we might demonstrate acts of love and service to all people. In closing, I have a prayer that I wanted to share with you all. This prayer blends together both the Beatitudes and this verse from Micah. It shows us how we might embody both of these passages, how we might let the love of God invade our day-to-day interactions and persist in all of our relationships. May God bless you with discomfort at easy answers, half-truths, and superficial relationships so that you may live deep within your heart. May God bless you with anger at injustice, oppression, and exploitation of people so that you may work for justice, freedom, and peace. May God bless you with tears to shed for those who suffer from pain, rejection, starvation, and war, so that you may reach out your hand to comfort them and to turn their pain into joy. May God bless you with enough foolishness to believe that you can make a difference in this world so that you can do what others claim cannot be done. Amen.
If you would like more information about Unity Presbyterian Church, please visit our website at www.unitypres.org or visit us on Facebook. This is the Unity Presbyterian Church Podcast. Have a great week.